Hey guys, Jackson here, just previewing a very special bonus episode of Roxy's Fever. We tried cloud recording for this one, and it worked, but it also made it so that there was only one file, as opposed to the normal file for each participant that speaks. This is boring audio stuff. I don't want to spend too long on it, but I do just want to apologize. I was not able to improve the audio quality on this in the way that myself or usually Justin would be able to. So thank you for bearing with us through that. But I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation that we had with Rams and Floob from the Scorch Stack about Deep Flames lore and, of course, the Canucks performance in Game 4, which, depending on how things go down, could turn out to be pretty legendary. So, hope you guys enjoy this. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon.
Speed, agility, power. I'm a big fan of these things. All of the performance I demand for myself on the ice is here. Handles all of my needs in dynamic fashion. I see you now about the fourth time, baby, but you know that I got nothing to say. It's such honor to look on your face. When you're rising, finding something I just can't do now. I've been around and by your heart, I'm looking for you just to shed some light on my day. Feels like ages since I've been on your way. I've been caught up with a handful of new sensations.
So what happened the last time you two were here?
Hold up.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you know what? That's better. I think only Neil can record. I don't think I can also record, but that's
well,
fine.
I don't think I'm recording, but
I just pressed a button confirming that this thing is being recorded.
Okay. Well, regardless, what happened?
I sent request host record the cloud. Oh, that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. No, I can't record. Never mind.
No, it makes sense though. Like now we're recording to the cloud, so we won't lose the recording. Which, So the last time I had Neil on. It was really awesome, actually. We did like a really long episode on EA NHL soundtracks. But then because my laptop is routinely on the verge of breaking down at all times from having like no memory, when the recording stopped, there wasn't enough space on my laptop to convert the recording. And I don't know like what exactly happened, but by the time I fixed that issue, the recording just like didn't exist anymore. And so we just lost the episode. So, but apparently we're recording to the cloud. So hopefully this one will be fine.
Good thing this isn't our jobs.
And that was interesting too. Cause like when we did that episode, that was like the day after maybe the Zadorov trade happened.
That sounds about right. So, yeah. We talked a little bit about that.
Oh, right. We
had
that trade too.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if we ever actually talked about.
Oh, we did. I was super insightful on it.
No, we did. We did. But I just mean, I don't know if we ever talked about it again on the main feed or like.
Well, I mean, how could you after I was so eloquent about it? Right?
I think you're pretty much right on the money there. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Roxy Fever. Jackson here. Vyas is with me as usual. And
I'm flipping mushrooms right now.
We also have the artist formerly known as Floob, or probably still known as Floob to most people.
I just make a sound and I'll answer it.
Yeah. and Rams is here as well. Ramina, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys?
God, I forget your name was Ramina.
You only call her Rams?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was one time Nathan from Scorch Stack. I was out with some coworkers at the Roughnecks game and I ran into Nathan and some people and he was like, "So like, do your coworkers call you Ramina?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "That's so weird."
Yeah, I don't like that.
What? Oh, that's very sweet. I think
it's because I knew Rams as like a content creator before I actually knew her.
That's really offensive to call me a content creator.
I wish I
could. Do you think I'm an influencer? What is
no,
this?
No, certainly not. But I think I just knew your. Okay, I'll be honest. I'm pretty sure the way I found out about you was your tweets about wanting to fuck Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm fairly certain.
I feel like.
I thought you were going to say Shrek.
Yeah, it's yeah. Pick
that,
anything.
That came after.
It may have been during the Inferno stuff, because that's when I feel like a lot of people, maybe that's what you meant by content creation.
Yeah, that is kind of what I meant. And your work for the network of websites that shall not be named.
Right.
Yeah. But we originally convened to do a Patreon episode on the 2015 series between the Canucks and Flames, but it seemed improper to not also just quickly record something for the main feed on Game 4, particularly because of the sort of Flames connections. Obviously, Elias Lindholm. I don't know. I need to just stop correcting myself.
I think
I'm
going to
tell you right now.
Right?
It is Elias, and I'm going to tell you right now. Pedersen is wrong. That's not a name.
I agree. I agree with you. I think Pedersen is too afraid of like what other people think. He's a little youngin, and whereas Elias, he's how old is he? He's like in his 30s now, right?
He's probably, he doesn't he's give probably a fuck.
That's so rude because he was born my year, I think. So he is 29.
He
okay?
is 29. Oh, fuck. Yeah. I was going to say that.
I just don't like looking at any hockey player's age anymore.
Oh,
it's so bad. Well, I have a question for everybody. Would you buy a jersey with the name of a player who's younger than you?
This comes up all the time. That is like
yes.
I think that's completely bizarre. The
well,
thing of
okay, but think about it. I would totally buy a Matthew
is your boy
jersey.
Yeah, I'll buy
but he's younger than me.
Yeah,
but I get what you're saying because they're like they're children.
No, sorry.
To
clarify, I think it's weird to be like, oh, you can't buy the jersey of someone that's younger than you. It's like, well, then I can't.
Oh.
Like in 5 years, I'm not going to be able to buy the jersey of anyone who plays in the league. Like that's stupid.
Right. Well, yeah. Let me tell you, I already can't. So because I'm like a matter of months older than Mark Giordano. So, but I have done it, and I did it one time, and it ended up being the most like cursed jersey of all time. So
which one was that?
I got so it's the you guys know the classic Flags flame jersey, the really bad one.
Yeah,
I had one of those. I think I got that as a gift. I didn't buy.
You mean with the blue, the province,
the Alberta flag, and yeah,
okay,
Alberta flag. Yeah,
I forgot you don't have that anymore.
Yeah, we have good jerseys now.
Yeah.
But I had that one, and it was the year of like the half lockout, 2013,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
And that
2013.
That was the year that Sven Bergie was like a rookie on the Flames.
Oh, Sven Bergie.
Oh no.
what a guy.
There was I went to I think the like the home opener that year, and because it was like coming out of a lockout, they were trying to do everything they could to make everyone sort of like. Just appease the fan base, basically, right?
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
So, like, we went to the game and, like, you know, beers were discounted. There was some, like, food discounts and stuff. But they were doing 50% off jersey numbering, basically, at the Flame
Plates. Yeah.
So I went and I was like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure Jerome McGinley was traded at that point. And I already had an McGinley jersey, so I was like, I don't know. Sven Bergie, let's go for it, right? He's like the new hotness because this is before we knew about Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan,
totally.
All these other people, right? So he was supposed to be the future of the team.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, he came up the year before as like an emergency recall because they had like this boatload of injuries. And like he played 5 games and he scored, I think, like 4 or 5 goals maybe, like in
totally.
That span.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, you know, Bergie mania was like a real thing, right? So I fell into it, and he was number 47 at the time. And then I think halfway through that year, he changed to 27.
Sure.
And then it was so Bob Hartley. We're going to learn more about Bob Hartley later, but he was the coach, and he hated Sven Bergie. So Sven Bergie never played. He was sent down to the minors, and like I don't think he ever came back. And then it was either that year or like the year after where he was traded to Vancouver. So now I have this fucking like – busted ass flag jersey that like no one will ever wear again.
Man, that sucks because
with Sven Bergie on it.
I with the wrong would love number. That jersey. Like, say that. Because it's first of all, Sven Berchi was good. Like, I
love Sven Berchi.
I don't care what anyone says. Like, he was
never
good.
Bad. He just got injured. That's all.
Yeah, totally. He was good when he was here. He played well with Bo Horvat. Like, team was shit. He was good and he was fun to watch. I love like obscure player jerseys, but it's tough when the guy that is on the jersey had like wasn't on the team very long and then had a better slightly, I guess, because it's not like he had an amazing career or anything.
I need to really dial in on this one point. He changed his number the year I got that jersey.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of things about that are rather unfortunate.
I would also like that jersey because at Canucks games now, they do this little contest thing where it's like everybody stand up and sit down if you know you don't meet the certain criteria. And at Canucks games, it's basically a contest to see who has like the most unique jersey. Right. And I guess somebody runs around and like looks for whoever's got something interesting, and then they note that, and it's very clearly going one direction. And somebody, maybe you guys, only Jackson will know, but like a guy with a white signed Andrew Ebbett jersey won.
Oh yeah.
And it's like the whole arena and like everybody's cheering for this guy who has like one of the worst jerseys ever. And so I don't have any obscure jersey like that. So I would absolutely take that off your hands. It'd be a fight between me and
Jackson. It's no Triantkin jersey signed by Derek Dorsett, but it's pretty good.
Man. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Stefan Hack having that. His dad,
I was going to say, has he ever won one of those contests? Because like,
no, his dad should, but I kind of feel like maybe the administration, no, like the management group, the Alvin doctrine. I guess it's not their shame to wear that, but I don't know. Maybe it's like too recently a bad decision.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that.
So,
anyways. Canucks win just happened, and exactly, we do have to cover that.
So
far,
I think I know what the burning question that's on everyone's mind is, and since we have both of you here, I'm just going to shoot directly from the hip. Who is Mark Jankowski?
Mark Jankowski?
Mark Jankowski.
Mark Jankowski.
Mark
Jankowski is a guy that Jay Feaster thought would be the greatest pick from 2012. Mm-hmm. And so it was in 10 years, you guys will see. And then 2022 rolled around. Yeah. Was that Jay Feaster?
It was Jay Feaster. He was one that said in 10 years he was going to be the best player in his draft class.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, you know, 2021, we're like, yes, one more year, Mark Jankowski, he's going to shine.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to look up the 2012 draft class and see.
Oh, please.
Aaron Ekblad was the pick, the first overall pick that year.
No, it was 2012 was Yakupov.
Okay. Well,
which
is,
you know, the guy was kind of cooking.
Okay, I was going to say,
he had a point.
This is why it's funny, is because the 2012 draft was absolute shit.
Yeah, this is going to fall apart real quick, but like, I'm going to give you the first four picks.
Yeah.
So, Edmonton number one, Nail Yakupov. Mm-hmm. Two, Columbus, Ryan Murray.
Yep.
Three, the Montreal, Alex Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one. Four, it was the Islanders, but he's an Oilers guy to me. Oh, Griffin Reinhardt.
Griffin Reinhardt, yeah.
So, at five, Toronto, Morgan Riley, who I believe is out of the league.
Morgan
Riley?
I don't know anything about this. I don't pay attention to that.
No, he's not.
No, Morgan Riley is the guy that freaked out when that guy on the Senators like did the slap shot into the
end. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He's actually very good.
He's very good. Yeah.
Mark Jankowski is just the name of a player who comes into the league at age 34. Like, I can't picture drafting a kid with that name.
Yeah, but that's
wild. That's the thing, too, is he was actually, like, the youngest one, I think. He was in some, like, Quebec college or whatever that no one's ever heard of. And the rumor has it is that, like, one of the head of scouting for the Flames, maybe even Jay Feaster, saw him play like one time and they were convinced. that he was like the guy to get, and like they could have got him in the fourth round probably, but you know,
yeah, it was one of those like they went and him. Saw him in a snowstorm or something and had to like like there's I wish I remembered all this, but there is like lore around that draft pick and well, how much like trouble there was that went into being able to go see him. And they thought it was going to be like a Datsyuk situation, which it still doesn't make sense because Pavel Datsyuk was drafted in like the seventh round. But yeah.
Well, looking it up.
Who's still in the league?
Well, looking it up, though, Flames, mm-hmm. like, there was, like, two trades that happened for the Flames to get that pick. So they really went out of their way to get Lewandowski.
Right, they traded down. Right.
Yeah, they traded down, but then they all... Okay, here, let me read it. The Nashville Predators' first-round pick went to the Calgary Flames as the result of a trade on June 22nd, 2012, that sent Calgary's first-round pick in 2012, 14 overall, to Buffalo in exchange for Buffalo's second-round pick in 2012, and 42nd overall pick, and this pick. So that pick was, oh, you guys guessed it, Patrick Seeloff. So great, great dude, obviously.
How do you spell that last name? Him.
Patrick Seeloff, S-I-E-L-O-F-F. We all know him, and we all remember him.
He's most famous for being on the Ottawa Senators and like absolutely losing it on one of his teammates in practice.
Right.
I remember this, yeah.
Yes.
But so wow, full circle by Nashville though. Hey, like they played the long game there.
Mm-hmm.
They got their guy.
I'm just I also have the 2012 draft pulled up, and I'm just curious how long it's going to take me to find Jankowski in here.
But I can like, tell you, I can tell you where he got drafted.
I know where he got drafted.
I see.
Why we do the Mark Jankowski with three question marks is one time we saw an ad on, I think it was like Instagram stories from a very famous network that will not be named. And it was just, I don't remember the ad exactly, but it was literally just Mark Jankowski. And the text over top was like huge text that said Mark Jankowski with three question marks. And so that's just been a running thing.
It was very like Uber driver suck me off thing.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you.
I'm gonna try and find the photo. Well,
I honestly don't know anything about this man. This is the most I've learned about him. I haven't noticed him in this series.
I'm not
a very good observer.
I've spent maybe like 6 years hating this guy, and I couldn't tell you anything about him. So
it's funny because I just searched Mark Jankowski in my camera roll, and then it's the only photo that came up. So I'm gonna send it to you guys.
Oh, okay, great. Let's take a look at this.
I love the camera roll search. You really find some crazy shit.
Yeah, it's really handy.
Did you send it in the Twitter chat or in? The,
I'm trying to, but I clearly don't know how to use a phone.
No biggie.
So that's it worked. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Cool. I sent it in the Twitter chat.
We were going to talk like 15 minutes on the game last night, and I'm just in the throes of how much I hate Jay Feaster right now.
No, this was inevitable. I knew
this was where I was going.
That's great. Just a picture from
that fucking guy. Ah, God, I'm going to go on a rant, but...
Okay, to close this thread...
He went on TV and said, write it down, we're making the playoffs in a year where they finished, like, 23rd, I think. Like
that rocks.
Yeah.
So
maybe he thought there was going to be the COVID playoffs, and he knew it was going to be 24 cutoff, but COVID came a few years later.
I pulled up
long game.
The 2012 draft, but sorted by points, because I wanted to see, you know... That's how you find out who the best player in the draft is. And Mark Jankowski, unfortunately, pretty far down the list. But he does have more games played than Nail Yakupov and more points, or just a few less points, maybe about 20, than Ryan Murray. So maybe Jay Feaster was onto something. But I do love the like little grouping of names around here when you sort by points is amazing. He's just ahead of Matt Benning, who obviously I can't remember. It's not his son, but it's like Jim Benning's like nephew or something. And then he's right under Ben Hutton and Teddy Bluger.
Now, Jim Benning, who's that?
I'm not
your next general manager.
The next general manager of the Calgary Flames. Yeah. So anyways, that's a nice little stroll down memory lane. But every time I see Mark Jankowski step on the ice, which is not very often because he's not usually very noticeable, but whenever I see him, I think of you guys.
It was funny. Rams, I don't know, was it a few weeks ago now? I guess right before the season, the playoffs started, she was looking up. We were just talking about this in the group chat. She's like, oh, there's a Jankowski on the team. And she's like, Mark Jankowski?
It was when the playoffs started.
Yeah. And I forgot he existed. And then...
Me too.
Before we started recording, I watched 10 minutes of Canucks Predators highlights so I could be ready for this conversation today. And Mark Jankowski scored. Totally forgot he was on the team, matter of days later. That's Mark Jankowski in a nutshell for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
What position does he play? Because
who knows?
Yeah, he is a forward. I think he might have been. I feel like he was a center, but he wasn't good at it, and so he's a winger.
That's breaking through. That sounds about right.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Mark Jankowski is that season where he kind of looked like he might actually be good. He had 32 points.
There was a year he kept on scoring shorthand goals, and I think that was the year. Mark Jankowski and another guy that you guys might know, Marcus Granlund.
Yeah, of course.
We know. Those guys were those guys were like 1A and 1B of the guys that were going to eventually be the Michael Backlund replacement.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That hasn't really worked out yet.
Michael Backlund is the captain now, right?
He is.
Yes.
Yeah, that rocks.
And he'll be I think he's 10 games short of 1,000 games with the Flames. So
that's amazing.
They're still looking for that replacement, I guess.
But yeah, he had that season where he had 32 points. And then I was looking at his numbers right before we started recording, and it took him another four seasons after that to get his next 32 points.
That rocks. That's a Calgary Flame right there.
Absolutely. So I mean Vias was the one who wanted to talk a little bit about game four, but I guess the obvious place to start is Elias Lindholm scores the game winner. He also had the first goal of the series, I believe, back in game one, and he has played really well in this series, which is kind of surprising, I guess, because he did not play well from what I gather from Flames fans, the entirety of this season. He wasn't just bad when he got to Vancouver. He was pretty bad before he got to Vancouver too. Is that more or less accurate?
I will say about in defense of Lindholm, when mm-hmm. you're not playing, when you're playing with, people who aren't very good, it's kind of hard to also be good.
Yes. We're having that.
We've had this with Elias Pettersson.
With the other Elias. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you guys feel emotionally when you see Lindholm score a playoff overtime thriller goal?
Honestly, nothing.
Because I don't see it happen because I don't watch the game.
It's
good.
Because it's weird, right? Because the Flames went into the season with four or five guys they were supposed to trade, and he was one of them. So the entire year was just sort of waiting, when's it going to happen? Yeah. So,
yeah.
And it was a month out before the trade deadline, I think. So it was a long time ago now, really. Mm-hmm. To the point where I kind of forgot he was ever around, which is crazy because he was a big part.
Wow. Which is something a lot of Canucks fans felt too until the first game of the playoffs. So we forgot he was around. I could not have named what line he was on. He only really got put onto a threatening line in the second game of the series on the Dakota Joshua.
No, he was on that line for the first game of the series. He got put on that line a few games, in game 79 or something.
Right.
Because he looked kind of good at the very end of the year. He basically has only looked good on that line and a little bit on special teams.
He scored in his first game, didn't he?
He did, actually. Yeah. And then he went cold for ever.
Wasn't it?
And then he got put. Then he got put on the power play for the last couple of games.
Wasn't there a rumor that they were going to trade him for Gensel at one point?
Something like that. Yeah. That happens a lot with Canucks players under Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvian. They trade for a guy and then all of a sudden his name comes up in rumors again. Like,
dude, it's fucking crazy when we get trade rumors in the city now with Rutherford, because like you'll hear some idiot, you'll hear some idiot just propose a random trade on like the third page of the controversial section on Reddit, on like Canucks Reddit.
Yeah.
And then the trade fucking happens the next day. And yeah, you're just like, I don't know what to believe anymore. I'm just happy we have things to talk about. 3M.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Like that's kind of what happened with Zadorov, actually. Like, for the entire time his name was in rumors, I was like, why would they do that? That doesn't really make any sense. They don't need like someone with his handedness. They need somebody, because he's a lefty, right? But he plays both.
He can play both. That's
he can play both sides. But the thing is that Rick Tocchet hates playing guys on their offside. Like, Ian Cole and Carson Soucy can both play on their offside, and he's never played them on their offside, even if it meant like playing Mark Friedman in the top four or whatever.
Well, and the thing with Zadorov too is that like he can play both sides, but when he's on his natural side, it's not like he's that good. So it's not a huge drop off.
Sure, yeah.
Floob, watch your mouth. I'm a big Zadorov guy. Love him.
I also love Zadorov, but like,
okay. So when you see him score in the playoffs like twice so far or something like that, what do you feel?
I'm so happy for him. I for a while, because Flames basically lost every goal scorer. And so Zadorov was, you know, racking up the goals. And I'm like, great, he's our new sniper. It's exactly what we needed. Love a good Nikita Zadorov sniper timeline, you know? But I don't know. I think he's funny.
He is funny.
He is funny. Yeah.
He's really funny. He's also dressed really well.
Yes,
I was
going to
say,
have
you guys? Yeah.
I was like,
you're
going
to
want
to see this. Oh, yeah. He looks like a Bond villain.
So
every time.
Much better than everybody else.
I was gonna say, I feel like he is one of the only NHL players who I've seen people talk about as having like good style, who actually does have good style.
Well, he's
he wears like three pieces. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that, and he's got like a giant scar on his face. Like, he's perfect.
Yeah, he does look like a Bond villain.
During the height of Russia and Ukraine, he posted on his Instagram saying, "Stop it, war." So, you know, I'm a
that's well, that is the only intelligent thing that anyone from the NHL had said about
exactly. So yeah, I'm a big,
I think he's also like pro, like in favor of pride, or like, yeah, he's like done the rainbow shit, you know. So fuck, this is the wrong way to say this.
He's not on the jersey. Yeah.
So is this this is the episode where Vyas gets canceled. Love it.
It is pretty cool that
either I have to have a kid to get off the show, or I can get canceled.
Yeah, I it is pretty cool that the Canucks managed, obviously not in the same trade, but that they managed to ditch the homophobic Milstein client for the non-homophobic Milstein client, even though, like I said, obviously not the same trade, but I'm happy that they pulled that off. Zadorov's a Milstein client, right? He must be.
He's Russian and they all are.
Yeah, exactly. So the one other thing that I wanted like to check in on, and I know like obviously he hasn't played because the Flames didn't make the playoffs, but what's going on with Andrei Kuzmenko? I know there were some Flames people, Mike Gold, who were trying to like dunk on the Canucks because he was playing well or something. I don't watch Flames games, so can I get context for that? Like, is he good again? Or
I also don't watch Flames games, so I can't. I'll let maybe Floob. Do you want to take this one? Because I could not give. I feel like I just don't care that much about hockey this year. And so I couldn't even, you know, venture an intelligent guess on Kuzmenko. I just remember one time he got a goal and was happy about it. That's all I remember about
that. That sounds like Kuzmenko. That's pretty much like 95% of the storylines.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like one of the byproducts of the Flames doing everything we wanted them to do this year and selling off all their free agents and, kind of not really saying they're going to rebuild, but kind of rebuilding, is that once you've kind of reached that point, the rest of the season's not really worth watching.
Super familiar with
this. So yeah. I saw a couple of games. He's they put him in a position to succeed, right? Like he was on, yeah. He's playing with Kadri and he's playing with Martin Pospisil, which is actually a good thing. Those guys are great together, and he was kind of the beneficiary of that. And he kind of went on a heater to end the year, but
yeah, like the last four games or something.
Something like that. And I don't know. I'm, you know, he does feel like one of those guys that's going to be gone at the trade deadline next year.
That has to be
I
the
have
plan,
not,
right?
Like it for sure is. I've heard the kind of people that talk about it, that when they say something, it's usually because something like that's about to happen. So it's probably happening. And like, from just on my own end, like I still remember what happened last year. You know what I mean? With the jersey and all that stuff. It's
totally,
it's hard to like look at him and be like, oh, I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it too. Like,
which it kind of sucks too, because he does seem like he's got a bit of a personality. Which
he's
is,
fun, but
yeah,
then it's just
but it's like
you're like, eh. But
okay,
he
I think
thing,
I'm kind
know?
Again, because I don't really pay that much attention to hockey, because
This
I
is gonna
just, you
come
know, just lots of
flying back to your
apathy.
hands.
But
Yeah.
what? Sorry, what did he do? I actually don't know.
Do you remember last year when all those players they were very concerned for their safety or their religious beliefs?
Because
And
of colored tape, rainbow tape.
well, yeah, basically, right? It was all the pride
Yeah,
jerseys,
it was
right?
the
And
jerseys,
they
but
wouldn't
yeah,
wear
same
them out.
thing. Oh, it was the warm-up jerseys and stuff, right? Okay. He was one of
He
the
was
guys
one
that
of them,
opposed
yeah.
it.
Only guy on the
Oh,
Canucks,
lame.
yeah, who didn't wear one, yeah.
And so annoying, because we don't get a lot of really fun personalities in the team. Sort of a byproduct of mostly getting very quiet Swedish boys. We're very
Yeah.
good, but can't really put a mic to them. But Kuzmenko very quickly took over the fan base. Like, there are a lot of people still to this day who have Kuzmenko jerseys, and he was only around for a year. And that just doesn't happen much. He's very fun. He did this thing where he would trade food with people in the stands. Like,
Yeah,
people would
he's
give him
fat.
hot dogs and
That's
bananas, and like,
like my
he had
favorite
this
thing
like,
about
yeah,
him.
this beautiful Phil Kessel quality to him. And
Damn, that is
yeah,
disappointing.
it
It's
really
too bad.
disappointing.
It
Yeah.
was the one time we had a guy with personality.
I also like, obviously it I don't know. I would say at this point the Lindholm trade is like probably worth it, just because of those two goals, and like particularly the goal in game one. Like, even
Absolutely.
though the obviously this one's like more important, it wasn't in front of fans. But I think at this point, like, two signature moments in a playoff series, like, I guess if they lose in the first round, it might somehow they might like that might put a damper on it, but I would say like it's pretty much worth it. But I would think from the Flames perspective, like, if Kuzmenko ends up being the best piece that they got back, that's like really depressing, right? Like, that's not going to be
Excuse
good.
you, excuse you, because we have Hunter Brustevich, which
Signing,
we're
yeah.
going to incorporate in a 2025 Win the Cup song. So,
yeah.
you
Can
know,
we get a
hold, you're
preview
gonna
of this?
No,
Yeah.
you're gonna have to
song.
wait and see.
Yeah, just wait. I did just Google how to pronounce his name, but
What is it
wait and
again?
see.
When you said Hunter, I really thought you were gonna say Shinkara.
Oh, that's a
I was
guy I
about to
thought.
say who?
Do you guys edit at all with these?
No.
Once
No.
in a
Okay, well,
while, yeah,
then
I
I'll tell you
can.
guys the story once this is done.
Perfect, perfect.
Okay.
Because I am gonna stop the recording between
Well,
this one and the Patreon one. So
hold
got
on.
it.
We haven't really talked about
Bear.
that game. That was the whole point,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
It
Like, we're gonna do
was the
that.
whole point.
Just for the record, before we do that, since we've already like slow rolled it anyways, Brustevich is good. He's
Oh,
good.
that's
He's
how you
good.
pronounce his name. Got
Yeah.
it.
He is a good goaltender.
I am looking forward to seeing Hunter Bust Something play for the Calgary Flames in 6 years.
Hunter Bust Something.
I'm excited
Yeah,
for
that's good.
Wild Music to use Hunter Brustevich in a song. So,
Yeah.
looking forward
Okay.
to that.
So Vyas,
I have to leave this.
what did you want to? Yeah, you were the, it was your
Well,
idea. I look, okay, here's what's up. I was at work when the game was happening. I listened to the first two periods and the first 5 minutes of the third period on the radio, and then our like meal sponsors got there and they were losing, and so I just got sidetracked, and then like I looked at the score after I was done work and was like, holy shit, they won. And then I came home and I watched the like two periods that my wife managed to tape for me. And then the recording stopped. And okay, then, so I had to find the last goal on YouTube.
That was, are you still talking about the story about how you didn't watch the game? Is he still talking about this?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck. I was gone for like 30 seconds. Okay, I don't give a fuck. You know what happened. It was probably the most exciting Canucks sequence. We were dog shit for 57 minutes. We played just like we did in game three. Horrible. I wanted to vomit. I almost went home early. I would never do that, but I almost did. And especially after starting Shelovs, I don't know shit about this goalie, but fuck, man. That was so exciting. Like, we haven't had a fun game like that in years. Like, we're going to talk about the 2015 Calgary series. I have no recollection of anything that happened there. The only thing I remember is
we haven't had a fun game like that in years, except for literally game one, which happened like 5 days ago.
It was a Patrick Steffen moment in this game.
There was, okay, and that was amazing.
Like all in the same week.
Yeah,
week has been fucking phenomenal, and it somehow got even better in the first game. Dude, Brock Besser got a hat trick. Is it? Like,
yeah, that was dope.
Did you not shed a tear for Brock Besser?
Oh, I was so happy. Trick? Yeah.
Oh, like a feel good story. Seeing Quinn Hughes, like the half of Quinn Hughes that there still is, managed to break the ankles off of Gustav Nyquist. I'm surprised I'm the only one very excited about this here. I mean, well, between the two of us, at least.
Miasa's surprised because this is the first time ever that he watched a game that I didn't watch. Which I couldn't watch because I was at work, for the record. I'm not dogging it. I'm not doing my job in quotation marks. But I was excited, but I didn't get to experience it in the moment. I experienced it in this weird, broken way. And so I passed it over to you as the person who actually watched it in real time and has passionate opinions on it. I just watched it through the lens of what everybody was talking about and was like, yeah, I it was cool. I was happy to see Brock Besser get a hat trick, and I don't think they were as bad as everyone said they were.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I'm curious what you think our chances are for the next game, and if it's too premature to talk about, to ask our Calgary friends here who they think is the better team going into the next round.
Oh, yeah, way too premature.
Don't make me answer that question.
Nope. Yeah. And also, like, it's not over till it's over. My take is that I said this before to you. I don't think there are any good teams in the NHL this year. And I think we're seeing the, like, chaos of that. I don't think anyone's good. I think that's why you're seeing, like, in every game, basically, not just in this series, but also in other series, like, you see these games that are like, oh, this team won 4-1. They had 9 shots, and the other team had 74 shots.
I don't know, man. Are you seeing the numbers that Florida's been putting up?
Yeah, I'm rooting for Florida all the way.
Yeah, Florida.
That's what I think his opinion is about the West.
No, because the East, the thing with the East is that there are 90% of the teams in the East suck. There are like two teams in the East that are kind of good, and so they just roll over everyone else because like the East is complete garbage.
Yeah, and the Islanders are in the playoffs right now.
Exactly.
I totally get what you're saying. I feel like every year you're like, oh man, if this team like doesn't win or loses in the first round, what a huge upset. But this year I'm like,
zero.
You know?
The only team that it would have been like, wow, I can't believe that happened to was the New York Rangers against the Washington Capitals, which is why I was completely certain that the Capitals were going to win just because hockey is stupid. But of course, instead, the more normal thing happened. But yeah, I don't know.
I think the Rangers are frauds too. So I don't know. That,
I do too. Underlings aren't good. I don't know. They were a really goalie driven team last year. I don't know if they are this year. But I think they've just rolled over all the shitty like teams in the East that all couldn't figure out how to finish like seventh or eighth in the conference. A bunch of the entire bottom half of the East was like, no, we're good. We don't want to work more. We'll just be done at the end of the season. I don't want to play more games. As far as this series goes, like I think it's been pretty close, and I honestly I know this is like just me just throwing my hands up or whatever, but like I over these four games, the prevailing attitude I've had has just been like, I am so glad that I don't have to like, it's not my job to make sense of this nonsense. Like it's just been very silly in terms of like, in terms of trying to analyze it. I mean, like it's been fun to watch. The Canucks have gotten the better results, I think, like not undeservedly. But I think it's been close, 'cause I think both teams haven't like played particularly well, because I don't think there are any good teams in the NHL. That's what I'm sticking to, at least for now.
We're gonna get some good teams one of these years.
Yeah, well, it'll happen. It'll happen soon when the cap goes up. But for now, zero good teams.
I think I'm with you. I'm looking through these results right now, and I'm like, no, I can see any one of these teams losing in the next round.
Absolutely.
Except for Florida.
Yeah.
Going with Florida.
Florida's pretty, like, I said there were no good teams, but, like, Florida is pretty good, you know? They're, like, I can see it with Florida. They're one of only a few teams that I look at, and I'm like, okay, no obvious weaknesses. Except for Sergei Bobrovsky, but he played well this year. So,
right. I guess he's the X factor, right? Is your billionaire goalie going to play like a billionaire goalie, or is he going to play like me?
And you never know. Because if to bring this back to the Canucks have three wins in this series from three different goalies, and the signature save in the series was from the post on an empty net. It was a save that a shooter tutor could have made.
This is the Patrick Stephen moment which was
funny when I saw that. I could not believe that is how the game turned around, was that someone just hit a post. Like, that is
it is probably
stuff.
The craziest 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes sequence of Canucks hockey that I've seen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I just want to say, as a member of the Goalie Guild, number 3432, shooter tutor is anti-labor, and I won't stand for it.
What is shooter tutor?
Fair enough. That's one of those like sheets, you like plastic sheets you put in front of a to shoot at.
It's like a kid's Canadian Tire thing. Okay.
They paint a picture of a goalie in it, and all the holes in the corners are exposed, and you just
try
and score on that, and nobody's good anymore, so nobody can score on them.
Yeah, and
are the Canucks goalies.
And yeah. if you shoot glove side, if you shoot high blocker side on a shooter tutor, it will have a much better chance of saving it than UC Saros does. So, and that's why the Canucks are up right now.
Has he been bad?
That's what I'm deciding. I don't know. Apparently, he has a like a 600 save percentage on shots that go high blocker, like this season. And apparently the Canucks have been exploiting that. But that's just complete hearsay, because honestly, most of the time I could not tell you like in detail, like where the puck went, if that makes sense. Like I'm looking at the player who scored the goal more than the goalie. So in real time, I'm just like, hey, nice shot or whatever. And then I'm like, did that go glove side or blocker side? I have no idea. But yeah, I don't know anything. That's what we've established over the course of this episode. I know.
You sound like Willie Desjardins.
Yeah, I know a lot about like random NHL players from 10 years ago. But beyond that, I have no expertise whatsoever. Speaking of Willie Desjardins, we should really hop over to the Patreon so that we can get that all done. But any final thoughts from any of you before we sign off for this portion? That is
about the trades, about the Canucks in the playoffs.
about how about the pain of being a fan of a joke franchise like the Calgary Flames or frankly the Vancouver Canucks.
I will say it is a lot more peaceful to kind of know pretty early on that your team is not going to do well this year, and you just, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like live life a lot easier.
It's true.
In a similar vein, if the Flames don't draft TJ Ginla, I'm going to set 16 buildings on fire.
I will commit arson.
Okay, what's the possibility that that doesn't happen?
Somebody takes him before.
You know what, though? Craig Conroy is the GM. Iginla is one of those fake made-up titles where he gets paid by the team, which I love. So I feel like there is a very high chance. Like, I would say I'm going to go with 80% chance that they will draft him.
Yeah, all the rankings sort of have him fall right around where the Flames are supposed to be picking. So
exactly.
If they don't do it, it's just personal against me, and I won't forget it.
They will do it if he falls to them. The question to me is just, is somebody else going to take him first?
That's my fear.
And you better believe I'll be watching if they do.
Oh, yeah. But the good news is, like, with the Canucks and the Oilers in the playoffs, there isn't really a team that could feasibly, like, I don't know what the start of the draft order is, but like, it seems like there isn't really feasibly a team that would do it out of spite, like Kadri with the Leafs, you know? Like, if someone does take Iginla, it's just going to be because they like him the best.
But that's not possible because we like him the best.
Well, fair.
But I know what you're saying. There isn't any team that just wants to be petty and draft.
Yeah,
him.
Exactly.
There are, but they're all better than the Flames right now. So it's
okay. Exactly.
only for now.
I see. Okay.
Well,
because for me, I'm just like, I don't see why anybody isn't just going to get them. But even just for the jerseys, fuck, I don't know. I guess nobody's going to get them outside of Calgary. But what if Edmonton got them?
Okay.
Absolutely. Don't even joke.
You guys got to be prepared.
That's not
for
even
this.
Funny. That's no, literally not even funny.
They don't have to be prepared.
He's from Edmonton. Jerome's from Edmonton.
So
I'm not going to take it out. Sherwood Park.
Watch yourself, please.
The Flames aren't one of those places. I don't remember which one. But Vias, it's not Edmonton.
This is Vias revealing that he doesn't understand how the NHL draft works.
Iginla, no, I know how it works. I'm just saying, like, what?
Not going to not get the Flames are not going to pass on Iginla, and then he will fall 20 spots to the Edmonton Oilers. That is
is he a first round?
Oh, yeah.
He's
going to go like top seven.
He's projected like, I feel like 12th overall right now, which is where the Flames are at, I think.
12 would be perfect.
I think he's going to go higher than that. Sorry, guys.
No, stop it. This is why I wanted him to do kind of bad this season. So like, he would kind of fall and then we would just steal him.
I think Rams, you're a bit of a numbers girl. So help me out here. What number was Jerome Iginla?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. I didn't even realize that when I said Flames have 12th overall. Do they?
12?
Do Flames
have
12?
I think they have like 9, but...
Oh, never mind. My bad.
Okay, but what
he's projected 12th overall. That's actually pretty funny. I did not even put that together.
What if you guys draft him and it doesn't go well and he goes to Dallas and it's like a reverse Jerome situation?
Oh, that's kind of funny, but I would hate that.
I would also hate that just because I hate the Dallas Stars.
Yes, that's right. That's the correct opinion.
All right. Let's sign off and talk a little bit about former Texas Stars coach Willie DeJarnais. So you can check all of that out at patreon.com/RoxyFever. Thanks, guys, for doing this like actual almost full length episode with us.
I can't believe all of this is the main episode.
It's awful. Amazing. It's great.
I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah.
No.
This is on me and Jackson.
Anything to plug before we sign off for either of you?
Scorch Stack.
Yeah, I don't know what we do anymore, but
yeah, we're just kind of we just hang out. We're on strike until the Flames are good or draft TJ Ginla. So
yeah, you should check out our group chat, but you can't. So I don't know.
I look forward to the reunion addition when you guys draft TJ Ginla.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
Everybody's invited over to my house again for a barbecue for ScorchedCon 3.0. Awesome.
Well, is it actually Teach? I thought it was Ty.
Teach. Oh, man. Is it Teach?
It's 100% Teach.
Okay.
Really?
That's what I thought too. Huh. I actually had this talk with some coworkers, and then I went through Iginla's entire name, Jerome's entire name.
Yes.
And they're like, whoa, all right. And that's when I think they first found out that I was a little bit mentally unwell.
Jerome, oh. Elvis.
Nope.
Already, nope. Already, right?
You're okay. Already fucked up.
Elvis is in there though, right?
It is in yes. There, yeah. That's actually okay. His dad's name, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the second one? Jerome.
Arthur.
Technically, it's Arthur Lee because there's a little dash in there between
yeah.
Arthur and
Lee. We're going to say Lee was next, but yes.
Yeah, okay.
Jerome. Ty's name or Jerome's name?
Jerome. Jerome.
Sorry,
Arthur Lee, Elvis, Tig,
nope.
Jr. Iginla?
Nope.
Something like that? No, even more than that.
What? Yeah.
Wow. There's...
Jerome, Arthur Lee, Adinkunle,
Tig. Yes, right.
Oh, wait. Tig Jr. Elvis Iginla.
Ah,
and Tig, okay. But now, like, because it's T-I-G, but then now his son is T-I-J, but Tig in, what's the language?
I forget the language, from.
But it means little tree, like where
he's from Edmonton.
From.
You just said that.
No,
shut up.
Yeah, it means a little tree in Edmontonian English.
Yeah.
Now, it's a native language. It's hard to translate. Yeah.
All right. We've gotten very silly, which means it's time for the Patreon. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.